You are at your most vulnerable moment. You need help, and suddenly it's not there. What are you going to do? We're going to talk about that today. Also, a woman from Rotterdam is stuck in Morocco. Why? We'll tell you. And two very important Supreme Court trials.
Uncensored, unfiltered, unhinged. It's the Karellcast. Listen daily on your favorite streaming service.
It is the Karellcast. I am Karell, and I am so grateful to be here with you today and so glad you're joining me. What would happen if, when you're at your most vulnerable, you cannot reach the help that you need? Really, what would happen? We're going to talk about that. And is there a way around it? That's more important. If you're a patron, there's going to be a Patreon call this Sunday at 5:30. Check your box for the link. That's very exciting. I'll be with you a Sunday at 5:30 Pacific time. So check your box. The link already went out. All right. So, you know, most of us don't have to call 911 on a regular basis. Thank the heavens. But when you need them, it's an emergency. You know, unless you're one of these assholes that call because, you know, whatever, the real, my cat's in a, you know, whatever. But, you know, a lot of people call 911 for things that they shouldn't be calling 911 for. But most of you know that you save that for when you really need it. When someone's having a seizure or a heart attack, or when a house is on fire, when you're being robbed, when you've been in a car wreck. Usually a 911 call means it is the worst day of your life. Okay? And imagine on that worst day of your life, you reach out for help and that help isn't there. It simply is not there. Imagine your child is bleeding in front of you, having a seizure, has collapsed. You call 911. You don't get through. And I don't mean a busy or a call, but I mean it's just not there. Imagine you're in a car wreck. You can't get out from behind the steering wheel because of the airbag. You try to call 911. You can't. Imagine you're in your home and someone is literally trying to break in the door or the window. You have nowhere to escape. You call 911. There's nothing. You wake up. You've taken a nap. You smell smoke. You see there's smoke coming under your door. You try to call 911. Help, fire, help. No one responds. Well, that was a reality Wednesday in not one, not two, not three, but four states. And that included the Las Vegas metro area of 3.1 million people. For 2 hours on Wednesday here in Las Vegas, in Texas, and two other states, you could not reach 911. You simply could not get through. Now, if you called on a mobile, they could see your number and they had people calling people back. But of course, that was more time consuming and, you know, God knows where you were on the list to be called back. So for 2 hours in Las Vegas, Nevada, Las Vegas, can you imagine? This town was truly Sin City and the Wild West for 2 hours on Wednesday. Because police, fire, any kind of 911 service, you simply could not get through. It went down. And the media is trying to downplay it. Oh, a glitch, a this, a that. They won't let you know if it was hackers or not, because it could have been. But for 2 hours, people in the worst conditions, people that needed help the most, could not get it. And I guarantee you, people died because of it in these four states. Buildings burned because of it in these four states. Because we all take 911 for granted. It's been around most of our lifetimes. Okay? Now, it has been around like all of my lifetime. I'm 61. And many of you, you know, you used to just have to call the police. But 911 was established many, 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 many years ago. And before, it was an analog system. You got through on the phone lines, you know? The phone lines were analog. You may have gotten a busy signal, but you got through. Now that it's digital, and when these states went digital for their 911, they were warned that hackers could take it down. And you have to wonder why. Can we not create a computer system that's closed? A closed network where hackers can't get into it? Can we not? We have AI now and all this other stuff. Can we not create software that will stop a hacker before they are able to get in and hack? You know, there's a use of AI that I'm all for. Stop hackers. But Wednesday, they didn't. And for 2 hours, you could not reach 911. 2 hours of heart attacks, strokes, seizures, cuts, broken bones, falls downstairs, car wrecks, burglaries, armed robberies. For 2 hours, these calls could not get through to the call centers. Now, first of all, I find that completely unacceptable. Heads should roll over that. I mean, truly, the trauma that people that tried to use the service went through by not being able to get through. Because what do? You call 911, you can't get through. What do? Well, that's what I'd like to talk with you about. I would like you to do something for me prior to our Patreon call on Sunday. While you're listening to this, I don't care when you're listening or how you're listening. If you're watching at YouTube, bless you. 300 people a day watch at YouTube. Thank you. I do this video for 300 people. I could have them over. We could have dinner. But I don't know why more of you don't watch. I know that we're charting in Amsterdam right now. We're charting in Canada. I don't know why more of you don't watch the video at youtube.com/reallycarell. I want you to. Really Carell is really, R-E-A-L-L-Y, and then K-A-R-E-L. But imagine if you took back control of contacting emergency services. And let me tell you how. Every police officer, not officer, well, yes, but every police office, okay, every main police station has a phone number, okay? So you won't get through to dispatch. You might get an operator or whatever, but every police station has a phone number. So you need to find out what the phone number is in your district for the local police station and program it in your phone. So should you ever need emergency services and 911 has been hacked again or has gone down again, you are able to get through. Every fire department has a phone number, a 10-digit phone number. It's not only 911. They have a 10-digit number. Find out in your area, walk down to the fire station if you have to, find out what phone number can be used in emergency situations should 911 go down. You can ask police. Call the police station today and say, look, this 911 going down has me a little spooked. I'd like to program into my phone a 10-digit number where I could reach you in case 911 can't go through. And don't let them tell you there isn't one. There is. The same with fire. There is a number that you can call that is a 10-digit number that is not 911 for your local fire department. Find out that number. Program it into your phone. Because you do not want to be stuck in a situation like millions of Americans were on Wednesday. Can you imagine how many missed calls there were in four states for 911 going down for 2 hours? I mean, that's chaos. That, you know, that is a breakdown. That should not happen in America. There should be so many fail-safe systems to prevent that from happening. And yet, it happened. Our power grid can be hacked. 911 can be shut down. You know, government's not doing a very good job of protecting the services that we need the most. And so you've got to take it into your hands. Program in your phone, police and fire, 10-digit phone numbers, not just 911. Because there may come a time where you will thank me for this. I don't want any of you to ever need 911. But if you do, and heaven forbid something's going wrong with it and it's not there, I want you to have a way around it. So go program into your phone the local police and local fire phone numbers. They're out there. They're available to find. I would give you some, but I'm in Vegas, so they wouldn't do you any good wherever you might be. But you need to find out. And don't take no for an answer. You know, they can't say, well, you know, you would just call 911 and then just call 911 back if it's not working. No. Find the number for the police station. Find the number for the fire station and put it in your phone. Because I just can't imagine. I can't imagine your child is in front of you having some sort of problem, a seizure, a fit. They're cut. They're bleeding. You call 911. You know what? And also know the fastest route to the hospital from where you're at. Pretend someone in your house is pregnant. You know, find where the closest urgent care or hospital emergency room is in case you can't reach 911. You know, before 911, sometimes we had to just load people up into the car and go to the hospital. Because in the time it would take to get the ambulance or whatever, sometimes you might have to just go on your own. You know, so find out, where's the local urgent care 24/7? Where's the local ER? How long would it take me to get there? And this is another great argument for always having gas in one of your vehicles. This is another great argument. And, you know, my dad and mom are that way. Like, if it got to a half a tank, oh, time to fill it up. But you should be that way, too, because you may end up having to take someone to the hospital because you can't get through to 911. If it's happened once for 2 hours, it could certainly happen again. So I need you all to, you know, act with some urgency and program these alternate numbers into your phone. Okay. So you're not just sitting there with your fingers up in the air going, what the hell am I supposed to do? You know, you got to take care of yourself sometimes. And that means, you know, sometimes we're left on our own. That's what that movie Civil War shows, that if it doesn't take much for a breakdown in the systems that we depend upon. And if they're gone, you're going to have to depend on yourself. It's just that simple. All right. That was a terrible thing. 911 going down in 4 states. I started laughing. I was thinking about this jury selection going on forever. I'm sure some of those jurors want to call 911 and say, get me the hell out of here. A couple jurors got dismissed because the press found out who they were, released their names. They were afraid of retaliation. Trump thinks he has unlimited challenges. He doesn't. He has 10. And so does the other lawyer have 10. The judge has as many as he wants. But so, you know, they're going to have to settle on jurors sooner or later. The judge is not going to let this, you know, because Trump would let this go on for months. But the judge is not going to let that happen. So they're going to have to seat jurors. They need to seat, as of today, Friday, 13 more jurors, which, you know, as I said the other day, this is nearly impossible. And it's already abnormal. It's not going like a normal jury selection. I just wish the courts would treat him like a normal person. Speaking of courts, the Supreme Court on the 22nd and the 25th have two big cases that you need to pay attention to. The 22nd could help clean up homelessness in your community. How? Well, California and two other states, liberal states, have challenged the law that says if there are no beds available for homeless in your community, if the shelters are full and all of that, then people have the right to camp out in public. Pitch a tent and camp out because there's no other place for them to be. You don't have any beds for the homeless available, so they get to camp out. Well, progressive states who are tired of having these homeless encampments and everything have actually challenged that law. Now, that law was passed with the help of the ACLU. That law is a very progressive law, and yet it's progressives who have challenged this, and they're trying to use the conservatism of the Supreme Court to their advantage, and they're hoping that the conservatives on the court will say, no, you don't have the right to just camp anywhere you want to, even if there's, you know, not enough homeless beds. Now, I, for one, I want the law changed. And I know that's heartless of me. I know it is. You know, because they thought that having this law would make cities expand their homeless services and expand the amount of beds available. Well, how has that worked out for you and me? I'll tell you what other big case is coming. Also, why is a girl from Rotterdam stuck in Morocco? You won't believe it. Well, you will, but it's sad. Really quite sad. And we'll talk about it. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Carell here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank all the patrons at Patreon. Your support means the absolute world to me and the show. If you'd like to show your support for the crazy endeavors of the Carell cast, then please go to patreon.com/reallycarell. That's patreon.com/reallycarell. And please help get those numbers up by subscribing to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/reallycarell. There's so much great free content there, it's like having a network on your TV, phone, or tablet. All social media is Really Carell, including Threads and Instagram. And don't forget the website that's had it all along, reallycarell.com. Without your support, the show simply doesn't work. So please listen on all streaming services, watch and subscribe on YouTube, and support the show through Patreon at patreon.com/reallycarell. Thanks for almost 30 years of support for the loudest, craziest, most unhinged gay guy and his little dog. And let's keep the party going as long as we can.
All right, so April 25th, the Supreme Court is—they're waiting to the final thing to hear, the final case in April—will be whether Donald Trump has presidential immunity for all of his crimes, for the documents, for the January 6th insurrection. He is claiming a president is immune from prosecution. Historians, scholars, lawyers have all waited and said, "No, they're not." We're going to see what the Supreme Court actually says. So. One ruling coming from the Supreme Court about whether you can camp in public will change your life. Because if the Supreme Court says, no, you can't, then they will legally be able to cite these people and to remove them if they don't move after a citation, to take the and move the tents and get rid of the enclosures and get rid of these tent cities. Now, I know you're like, well, Carell, where are these people going to go? Maybe by changing the law, the cities will actually do what the other law meant for them to do. In other words, if the homeless end up filling up the jails, which is what will happen, then guess what? You know, they'll need to handle the excess people, and maybe they'll start building enough beds and enough shelter. Because it's not a crime to be homeless, and no one should be jailed for being homeless. But if you're camping in the middle of a park and making a mess or on the side of a freeway, or whatever, on an overpass, just drive through LA or San Francisco, and oh my God. I mean, no one should have to live in that blight. The homeless people shouldn't have to live in that blight. And then the people that live in the area should. So it's a bad law that lets people just camp anywhere. I'm sorry. Maybe cities can start designated camping areas for the homeless or whatever it might be. You want to pitch a tent and live in it, okay, but you can't just do it anywhere. So I'm actually for the Supreme Court being conservative in this case and ruling that no, just because the city doesn't have enough homeless beds doesn't mean you can just pitch a damn tent anywhere you want. As for the Trump ruling, if they grant him immunity, it'll be a sad day in jurisprudence and a sad day in America and the world. No president should be immune from prosecution for any of their acts. And that includes official acts like, I think George Bush should be tried as a war criminal for what he did in Iraq. I really do. So no president should be immune from any kind of prosecution. So I'm hoping the Supreme Court does the right thing for a change and actually says, no, we're sorry, Donald, you're not immune. All right. There's a couple stories that had me questioning what year we were in. One is from the Netherlands. Hello, all of my friends in Amsterdam and the Netherlands. Hello to the Dutch. So there's this influencer from Rotterdam, right? And she went to Morocco to find love and do a reality show, because that's how you found love. That's how you find love these days. You do a reality show, and her reality show was going to judge people based on the way they dress. Actually, her name was La Gormani, and so she goes over and she does this show and posts it on YouTube, and more than like 3 million people have watched her doing this. You know, show where she tries to find a boyfriend. Well, she's stuck in Morocco. They won't let her leave. Why? Because she wore a skirt. And the Moroccan officials have deemed that the skirt was too short. I saw the skirt. It isn't, you know, it's just a regular old skirt. We're not like her gynecologist or anything looking up her woohoo. And, Yet in Morocco, they're saying it was too short and that she needs to be punished. And I thought, is this fucking 2024? So the Dutch embassy is helping her and working with the authorities to say, like, look, y'all got to chill. You know, my friend Thea performed in Pakistan and Afghanistan. My friend that sings for them is a dancer. I told her to have all of her wardrobe approved by local, someone from the production company that was local. And she said, well, why, Boulay? I said, Thea, just listen to me. Just do it. She did. And three of the outfits she was going to wear were deemed inappropriate. Even though they covered her from like neck to ankle, it had an open zipper that showed some cleavage. Three of her out. So, you know, I realize there are these rules and these rules are draconian. The Amsterdam influencer probably should have known, but you know, it wasn't like she was running down the middle of the street in a parade showing off her ass. She'd made a YouTube video in a skirt that in Amsterdam completely allowed. Well, what isn't? And so now the Dutch are working with the Moroccans to try to get her back, you know, into Rotterdam because she's stuck in Morocco. This is 2024. And a woman, it can't travel from where she went back home because of a skirt. Moroccans ought to be embarrassed. They should just, you know, it's like the Saudis, these people, and the Americans. You know, look how women are treated throughout the world. Here in America, they're told what they can and can't do with their bodies when it comes to abortion. In Saudi Arabia, they just got the right to drive, but they still have to dress like beekeepers in the Emirates. And now someone from Rotterdam is stuck in Morocco because she wore a skirt. Women, I don't know. You know, I don't get it. You're 50% of the population. I don't know how. And you have the power of the you-know-what, of the woohoo. I don't know why you don't turn off sex until every man gives you everything you want. You know what? Here in America, if I were a woman, I would say no sex with any man. I'll be a lesbian. Until you change abortion rights, we're all going to be lesbians. We're not going to have sex with you. Dildos are it. I tell you, men would change the law that fast if that happened. And wearing a skirt that's deemed too short? I thought Morocco was a hip happening place. You know, you hear about Morocco and you think, oh, yeah, you know, no, I guess not. Or maybe only if you're a man. 2024 and a woman cannot travel because her skirt was too short in a YouTube video. Wow. You know, I was looking up Amsterdam, by the way. Did you know that they're one of the most expensive places for rent? A studio is about $2,000 American there, and 1 to 2 bedrooms are going for $2,300 to $2,500, and 2 bedrooms are $2,500 on up. So they're having American prices in Amsterdam, and they don't know what to do. They're like, oh my God, it's too expensive to live anywhere. And I thought, well, welcome to the club, children. Welcome to the club. But I was shocked about that, by the way. I thought, well, maybe they'd be cheaper to live there, but no. And then I was reading CBC, and we'll probably end with this today on this Friday for those of you traveling. So there's been a couple of viral videos online on Threads and Instagram where you can follow me at Really Carell. Please do. And please watch my YouTube videos, youtube.com/Really Carell. So overhead bins are now the most coveted real estate in the world when it comes to traveling because airlines are charging you so much fucking money to check your bag. So people are trying to get away with just one carry-on and a personal item. Well, because so many people are now trying to just take one bag and not check a bag, the overhead space has become very, 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 very coveted. And some people are putting things up there that aren't luggage, sweaters, purses, that sort of thing. Well, it's starting a war. People are throwing it down, saying, no, put this under the seat in front of you. Literally, there are videos where people are taking other people's stuff out of the overhead compartments because they're sweaters or their purses or whatever, and they're saying, no, we need this for bags. This is only for bags. Your personal stuff goes under the seat. Can you imagine? You're sitting there, and someone comes along, opens the overhead bin by you, takes out your purse, your jacket, yours, and hands it to you and says, here, put that under there. I'm going to put my bag up here. Well, it's causing fights. And more importantly, airlines have stated they do not have enough overhead bin space for every person to have a carry-on. That's not how they were designed. They were not designed with every person having a carry-on and personal item. And so now there's this huge fight. So what do you think? Do you think that overheads should only be for luggage, period? No purses, no coats or jackets, briefcases, none of that. Just carry-on bags up top. Or are you of the mind, I bought a goddamn ticket, I'm allowed to carry stuff on the plane, and I'll put it wherever I goddamn want? Which camp are you in? Because I'm in the I'll do whatever I want camp. You're not going to, I have Ember under the seat in front of me. I have to put my backpack and carry-on up top. I have to. Now, luckily, I carry a bag that fits on top of my carry-on. So it's not like I'm taking up more space. My carry-on goes in and then my bag goes on top of that. But also my carry-on, there's enough room. It's not one of these enormous carry-ons. There's enough room where in front of my carry-on, my backpack could go as well. So I'm really just taking up the space of one carry-on. But if I want to take up, you know, a little more and put a jacket up there, whatever. You know, you're flying from California where it's warm to someplace cold. You got coats and things. Oh, no, put those under the seat in front of you. Well, where are my fucking legs supposed to go? And all of this because airlines have become greedy whores. And, you know, they want to charge you $50 for a bag, $100 for a bag. I mean, they just expect you to go places naked. Yeah, I have always been amazed at why airlines have started charging you for luggage. You're traveling. You have to have luggage. Why on earth is that not included in the price of the ticket? And why is Congress not acting on this? There are fights breaking out all over the world. CBC in Canada, they're devoting all kinds of space and podcasts and everything to the overhead luggage wars. So where do you stand on that? Is the overhead compartment just for luggage, or can you put your purse and your suit, you know, your briefcase or a jacket? And what would you do if someone came and took your stuff out because it wasn't a carry-on, it was your purse or a jacket, and handed it to you and told you to put it under the seat in front of you, and that person is not a flight attendant? What would you do? Because online, honey, they fighting. They are fighting. I am telling you right now, they are fighting. All right. Well, it is Friday. I hope you all relax. Go see a movie. Have some fun. I'll, of course, be back on Monday. Don't forget Sunday. Sunday, we're going to have a Patreon call at 5:30. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed, like the 911 needs to be fixed. It shouldn't be able to go down. Airlines should be told they have to stop charging for luggage. You know, you can check one bag. If you bring in 10 bags, okay, but you should be able to check one bag free. Congress, Pete Buttigieg, where are you, Pete? You know, the other thing needs to be fixed. I walk a lot, and I just saw a story in San Francisco about a 71-year-old who is not going to get any jail time because she ran over and killed a 4-year-old in a stroller and injured the dad. But the street where she was turning in San Francisco has these two lanes that turn. There were cars honking at her behind her. She got stressed, and you know, she just plowed through and killed a pedestrian. And it's one of those intersections where pedestrians walk between the cars. And she's not getting jail time. And people are upset because she ran over a 4-year-old and killed him. And people are just furious. And she's beside herself. You know, her life is like ruined because she killed this kid. She feels terribly. The parents have gone back to Korea. They were visiting. Their lives are destroyed. And why? Because the city doesn't properly control the traffic at this corner. Because it's now they've got it down to one lane. They've now closed it down to one lane. So it's, you know, better traffic flow in terms of pedestrians. But it's like here in Vegas. This city is designed so poorly, people die every day. How do you feel about that? Should she have gotten jail time? I am Carell. Be who you want to be. So don't hurt anybody. Be back on Monday. What do you think? 71 years old, kills a 4-year-old, no jail time.
It's broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours.
Listen daily to the Carellcast on your favorite streaming service.